had to be crazy enough to get on a plane and fast an extra 4 hours.
Nun Dalet Amid Aleph. About 15 lines from the end of the page. I know we got a little bit further, but we're starting again. 54A4, second column. In the middle of the second column. Okay? We're learning about the supporting of the wife from the ksuba after the husband dies and from the estate. She gets, you know, X amount of money and the support and the ksuba or whatever else it may be. So Gemara says like this. 54A4. Itmar, again, these few lines we learned. Itmar, Rav Amar, Amon. When you're estimating how much support the estate has to give the widow. So let's see, she has the ksuba. Let's say it's $200, right? So, Shaman Allah Mashallah. Rav holds, you include in the payment the clothes she's wearing. Because the clothes she's wearing comes from the estate. So therefore, when she collects the $200, you count including the clothes she's wearing. Shmuel Amar ain't Shaman Mashallah. You don't evaluate. In other words, the clothes don't count in the money they have to give him. The Chia Barabin, the Chalufa, the opposite is by a field hand. Meaning, when you have to pay a field hand, a worker in a farm, for the work. So normally the clothes they wear comes from their farm. So Rav and Shmuel, they're the opposite. Rabbi, the woman, says you evaluate the clothing she's wearing. Shmuel says no. By the farm hand, Rav says you don't, and Shmuel says you do. Rav Kahana Masnava, Rav Kahana learns it clearly. V'chein Balokit, he learns differently. He said the same argument, Rav and Shmuel, not that he changed their opinions, the opposite. With the same way Rav holds by a widow, that you count the clothing she's wearing, Rav holds so by a farmhand, and Shmuel holds no, you don't count it, and by a farmhand also not. Okay, then the Gemara, it just gives a simon. Amar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says the following. So basically the argument is, do you count the shirt off her back, so to speak, do you count the clothes she's wearing as part of her payment for the ksuba? So Amir Rav Nachman says like this, Alpha gav the masnis and kavasi de Shmuel, even though, there's a Mishnah that says clearly like Shmuel, nevertheless, Hilchas and kavasi de Rav, Daloch is like Rav. It's interesting. There's a Mishnah clearly like Shmuel, but Daloch is not like Shmuel, Daloch is like Rav, that you count her clothing on her. Which is another shocking thing, because in monetary issues, when Rav and Shmuel argue, in monetary issues, the halacha is like Shmuel. In Issa and other things, it's the halacha is like Rav. But the Gemara says like this. The Tanan, it says in the Mishnah like this. Echad ha-makdash and chosev, if somebody consecrates all his properties to the base of Migdash. Or, ma'id echad, ma'id ha-chasatzmi, makes a vow, it's called erchin. A guy says, my value, I'm donating to the base of Migdash. Depends on the age, male, female, and that whole thing. So it says, ain't like, the base of Migdash doesn't get, not b'ksus ishtei, okay? They don't count in the payment the clothing of the wife. The lakes is bonav, not the garments that the kids are wearing. Even lo lochayra, that's the father's money. Right? A guy donates his value, let's say he donates, donates all his property to the base of Migdash, yeah? So do you take his wife's clothing off her and the kids' clothing off them to give it to the Beis HaMikdash? So the Mishnah says you don't. They keep the clothing. And not for the colored garments that the guy dyed the garments, you know, with the different colors. And not for new sandals that he purchased for them. So what do you see clearly from this Mishnah? Clothes you wear are not counted in the estate. Because if a guy says, I'm donating all my money to the Beis HaMikdash, Lachayr, his wife's clothing are his.
It says the temple treasure does not have rights to the clothing of the...
Yeah, that's the Beis HaMikdash, doesn't have a right. Beis HaMikdash is a building. The guy in charge of the money is the treasurer. So in other words, what do you see from this Mishnah? Exactly like Shmuel, that you don't count the clothing that the person's wearing. Nevertheless, that loch like Rav. That's what... So Amalei Rav El Rav Nachman. So Rav said, 1 minute. The Chemiach the Tanamas Nisin Kavasi the Shmuel. If there's a Mishnah like Shmuel, Amai Hilchas the Kavasi the Rav. So why is the Halacha like Rav? Right? If there's a Mishnah like Shmuel, why are you paskening the Halacha like Rav? That doesn't make sense. Amalei, because l'cheira k'shmol rehita. You're right. The Mishnah flows like Shmuel's opinion. That means you just read the Mishnah simply, it sounds like Shmuel that you don't count the garments. Right? But, k'meyantaba, when you look deeply into the Mishnah, you'll see hilchos hakavasi d'rav, d'alochos hakrav. You're right. Simply reading the Mishnah, it sounds like Shmuel. But if you read deeper into the Mishnah, here's the Gemara different. The Aloch is like Rav. Why? My timer. He aknele, because when the guy gives the wife clothing, I die to make him come. What's the assumption? She's going to stay married to him. Normally, a husband gives his wife clothing. Yeah? He's not going to buy her clothing if she's planning to divorce him. Right? So when a husband gives clothing to the wife normally, it's because he expects it to stay married to her. Adaita lemishkol umeipak. Or on the a condition that she would, not, I'm sorry, adaita lemeikim, lemishkol umeipak, but on the condition that she should walk out with the house with the money, with the clothing. Leakdele never gave it to her. Meaning like this. That Mishnah that was proven to Shmuel is a completely different din. Over there, they're staying married. Right? When a guy buys clothing for his wife, he's expecting her to stay married. Therefore, he's giving her the clothing. Here we're talking about the ksuba. She's not married anymore. The guy divorced her, or he died, and the kids, right? So why should they want to give her the clothing? She's leaving. She's getting the ksuba. She divorced her. The guy died. She's leaving the home. They don't want to give her the clothing and walk away with it. So even though that Mishnah says, by donating money to the Beis HaMikdash, that the women's clothing are not counted, that they're the husband's, that's because she's staying married to him. But in this case, where she got divorced and the husband died, and she's collecting her ksuba, then the halacha is like grav. The clothing she's wearing and walking out with should be considered partial payment to the ksuba.
Strip her off the cloak?
No, I mean, the question, she have to pay for it. Yeah. That's the whole question over here. That says the clothes she's wearing
like
is deducted from the ksuba. Shmuel holds it's not. So the Mishnah by Erchin says the clothing belonged to the wife. So that sounds like Dalach like Shmuel. But they said no. Rav Nachman says no. But there she's staying married, so of course the husband's giving her the clothing. But if she's walking out and getting paid a ksuba, why should he want to give her the clothing? Then Dalach is like Rav.
This is not the additional clothing in the closet.
No. No, it's interesting. The Rishayim writes, he quotes the Me'iri, it's interesting.
The mean coat.
No, he says the Me'iri. Exactly.
The mean coat.
Yeah. Me'iri, he writes it, the Gemara refers to her clothing as what's on her, because the Gemara says the clothing she's wearing. This would seem to imply that only the clothing deducted is what she's actually wearing. But Me'iri dispels this. He states it's obvious that if she must return the clothing she's wearing, she must certainly return the clothing she has at home. This is stated by Tur and Shulchan Aruch, who rule that we deduct Shabbos clothing, weekday clothing, because Allah is a graph. You deduct everything. Huh? Shoes.
By some ladies, the clothing itself wipes out the looks of
it. True. Plus, she has to pay it.
Should we deduct wear and tear, amortization, all that from the clothing?
Yeah.
So that implies the clothing belongs to the husband?
Yeah.
But she's wearing it. It doesn't
matter. No, so the Gemara says, if they're staying together, the husband doesn't care that she's wearing it. He gives it to her. But not if she's going to walk out with it.
They belong to the estate.
Well, the fact, yeah. If the guy divorces the husband, if it's dying, it's the estate. Okay, so now the Gemara says like this. Kalsa de Bebar El Yoshev, the daughter-in-law of the house of Bar El Yoshev, have a katova ksubasa miyama. Her husband died, and she was going to the orphans to collect her ksuba, right? Have a kamamta luhula beidin. As she was bringing, listen to these mamzeh, these kids. She tells the kids, let's go to Besdin, I want to get my ksuba. So as they're going to Beis Din, the kids tell her, Zilu la milsa de teiz lahacha. You can't dress like this to go to Beis Din. Put on the good clothing. Adel kanishtu, go home, this castino, and wear lakula money, go put on all your clothing to Beis Din. Meaning, get dressed up for Beis Din. Why did they do that? Because then that would all be deducted from the ksuba. See the kids what they did? Also lakamid Ravina. So they came before Ravina to get the payment for the ksuba. Amalei. So Ravina said, Helchus kavasid rav. The law is a grav that says, Almanu shaman mashallah. You count the clothing she's wearing. So the kids knew that. Okay? Now.
And the wife didn't know it.
Oh, we went in the study Torah.
No, one second. The only question over here is, if we just said from the Me'iri that she gets all the clothing, even in the closet, so why did they have to do that? He said because they wanted the kids wanted Beis Din to see that she has a bunch of clothing. Like this, she could say, I don't have any other clothing. Now that she's wearing them, she can never come to Beis Din and say, that's all I have.
That means the kids probably didn't like her.
Oh, it's possible. By the way, it could be, it's very possible, it was the second marriage, not the mother of the kids. If you think about it, why would the kids do that to their mother? Mm-hmm. Right? But it could be a second marriage, right? The kids were from the first wife, and the kids didn't like her, and they wanted to get away with paying as less as possible. As least as possible. So they told her, go to Beis Din, should deduct all the money from the clothing. Okay, now there's another case. There was a certain guy, as he lay dying on his bed, he said, Nadunya Levras, let a dowry be given to the daughter. Okay? So, Zal Nadunya, after his death, what happened was like this. The dowry things dropped in value.
Stuff they did before the marriage.
What he committed to that dowry.
What the normal dowry, like we say in the ksuba, is certain clothing, certain jewelry. Okay? So let's say the father before he's dying saying, okay, these five sets of clothing should be for the dowry. Now at the time he said it, they were worth $100 each. So altogether the dowry would be $500. Or the value of $500. Then, a little short while after the guy died, it went down to $75 each. So now the question is, do the kids have to give her $500 dowry? Or is it 5 times 75 dowry? Because now, when they came to collect it, it was only $75. But the father said these five clothing. So the question is, do you have to give her, the girl, the 500 that it was valued at the time the father said it? Or do you go down to the level? So that was the question that happened.
It's like the stock market.
Appreciation, like you said.
Amar Ravidi Bar Avin. So Ravidi Bar Avin, they came to Ravidi Bar Avin, and he said, Purnali Asmim. The profit goes to the orphans. Meaning they only have to give her 5 times 75, not times 5 times 100. Okay? Meaning, they have to give her the money to buy, let's say, 5 sets of clothing at the cheaper rate, which was 75.
It's like, what's the difference when somebody says, I want to give the value of this cow, or I want to give this cow? Right? If he says the value of this cow...
So but it seems that he didn't say these clothing. He said 5...
That is that.
Yeah, clothes. I mean, it depends. Sometimes...
Well, however much it's worth today, that's all.
But in anything, in real world, in which the Gemara holds very strong, is everything except for pure kesem mimana, even that devaluates.
With the dollar now is down.
Exactly. Everything. Sometimes including kesem mimana. But the very few things go up in appreciation. So wouldn't it be the standard based on...
You know, by interest, you have the shaila of ribis. Let's say you borrow a dozen eggs. Yeah, like people, Yiddish people go to their neighbors. Yeah. That's just what they do it all the time. Okay, give me a dozen eggs. Okay, I'll give you back, right? Now, when you took the eggs, it cost a dollar. You're paying back the dozen eggs a week later.
$1.25.
It's $1.25. That's interest. You borrowed a dollar, and you're paying back $1.25. That's
ribis.
You
can never give back the exact, what are you supposed to do?
So there's an issue.
No, I'm saying, what do you say? You're Mavata, you say Blina, what are you supposed to do?
The best thing to do is give me a dozen eggs, not lend me a dozen eggs.
No, don't say lend.
Because when it's borrowing, then you can't buy. But if you give me a gift, a book that's $10, I can give you back a gift $20. What's the difference? It's not okay. Ribis. It's not a loan.
You didn't borrow.
But anyway, in Yeshiva, they say, borrow me the...
Borrow
me the...
It's even higher than
that. You're not paying Ribis.
No, but it doesn't matter. The fact is, if you tell the person, lend me a dozen eggs, depends what you say, actually. If you say, lend me a dozen eggs, and you give it back and the eggs are worth more, then you get paying ribis.
The statement is not
valid. If you say,
anyway,
give me...
You can't lend you those eggs and return the same eggs.
Lending is not always... When you lend money, you don't get back the same money. Not always. Okay, next. Hodi Amar Lohu. The guy says like this. One guy said he was dying. He said, "Arba Meir Zuzim in Chamel Levras. 400 zuz of this wine should be the dowry for the girl. Aikah Chamra." Then the wine became more expensive. So the wine that at the time he said it was $400 now became $500. So what's the story? Amar Rav Yosef. The kids again got the profit. It works both ways in the benefit to the Yisaimim. Why? It could be one reason is because they hold it. They're the muchzik. They're holding the money. So they have the upper hand.
What happens if the wine went down? A plus.
But the Lashna says it's 400 zuz worth of this.
But the Ritva holds that if the wine goes down, then the kids lose.
Yeah, but there's a good. I'm saying that's what I was saying before. What? I didn't say these 4 bottles of wine. He said $400
worth of this bottle of
wine. 400 zuz of this wine.
Of this wine.
Yeah, that means
that could be three. That could be one.
Of this wine, but this wine that was worth $400 is now worth $500.
Yeah,
so 1 minute, just logically. If I say to you, I'm giving you $400 worth of wine. Now it was a barrel.
No, but what you just said is not, because if you're giving $400 worth of wine.
Of this wine.
Of this wine. Okay.
The barrel,
and then all of a sudden the wine went up. Let's go with the bottle.
Yeah.
But it's based on the value when you made the declaration.
That's right. So when you made the declaration, it was worth $400.
Now it's worth $500.
So you don't have to give as much wine.
Correct. So you have to give
$400 worth of the wine. In this case, it could only maybe be half a barrel.
Yeah, less, yeah.
It could maybe be 4 bottles. Based on what you just said.
Why does the Lashon not change the deal?
No, but you just said it. But no, wait, listen to what the rabbi said.
Even though that wine, at the time he said it, was a barrel.
For 400.
Right. But he doesn't have to give the barrel that was worth 400 at the time he said it. You don't go by the value of the time he said it, you go by the value of now. That's all.
Okay. So now that wine is worth 500.
So they don't have to give the same amount of wine.
When you make an adover.
The magdish, yeah.
But yeah, so you could say $400 worth of my of this, or you could say this cow, or the value of this cow.
Go back to the cow comedian, exactly.
He says $400 of this wine.
No,
listen. You have more expensive wine, cheaper wines, right? A guy says, he has a wine cellar, yeah? He says, before he dies, $400 of this wine is yours. Now, at the time the father says it, it's
four barrels.
Okay, each one $100. Right? So what does he have to give him? If you would give the girl right away.
Four barrels.
Now went up to 500.
That's what I said.
So the question is, then you have to give her three. We'll forget the exact.
3.3, whatever, yeah.
The question is, but at the time the father said it, it was 4 barrels.
No,
you're still giving, but you're still giving.
But at the time the father said it, how much wine was worth $400?
Four barrels.
So you have to.
Right? Now each barrel became 450.
That's what the rabbi's saying.
I mean, each barrel became 100.
Yeah.
So then, the question is, do we go by when you pay it, do you go by when you promised it? So Rav Yisrael says, it belongs to the Yisrael. But if it goes down, the Ritva says, then the orphans lose. They have to give him more wine. Huh? If it goes up, they gain. They give less wine. If the price goes down, they have to give more wine. Okay, whatever.
Well, they gain in the volume of wine, but the value is the same.
I understand. It's still $400. Right. But the question is, she can get more wine.
Right.
There's no Shiloh that this was before the time of puts and takes. Because if there was a chance to do puts on this stuff, somebody would have figured it out. There would have been puts on all
the
stuff.
Then the Gemara says like this. Krivid Rabbi Yechanan, a relative of Rabbi Yechanan.
Puts on the wine.
1 minute. Have a le'itis Abba.
Sure.
There was a case, the father's wife ate a lot. She fressed a lot. Was depleting the father's resources. Okay, in other words, this. Rabbi Yechanan had a relative, he died. The wife was eating more than normal. She was depleting, because the ksuba says he has to feed her. But she was eating too much. Also, the comment of Rabbi Yechanan. So he came to Rabbi Yechanan for advice. She's eating up the whole estate.
She's eating the profits.
Yeah.
Literally.
Amalei, he said like this.
Leading the principle.
Izilu, go. Listen to this. Go tell your father. Okay, it seems that the guy didn't die yet. Okay? But they're afraid that once the father dies, she's going to keep on trucking. Okay, so he said like this. Go tell your fathers, what the father should do is, before he dies, tell his wife that this piece of land is yours for food. You finish the land? Goodbye. This is the land that's yours for food.
One second.
But listen, very interesting Gemara. So therefore, once you give it this land, the father's still alive. So he's telling you, this field's worth is all you're gonna get. Okay?
Field's worth, no value.
Also the Kamed Reish Lakish.
That's your answer.
Also the Kamed Reish Lakish. So after the father's death, they came to Reish Lakish. Okay? Why didn't they go? It says, why didn't they go to Rabbi Yechanan? He wasn't around. Whatever. They didn't. They came to Reish Lakish. Amelohu, kol shekein sheriva lo mezeinus. Reish Lakish said the opposite of Rabbi Yechanan. Not only does the father limit the food, he's increasing the food. Meaning, whatever she eats from the estate, she could eat, plus she gets that field. Rabbi Yechanan says, she eats the value of the field, and that's it. Reish Lakish says, no, she can keep eating as much as she wants from the estate, plus she gets the field. Amrlei, so 1 minute, so the kids now are really out.
She got a bonus.
Amrlei, so he said to Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yechanan li amr hachi. But Rabbi Yechanan didn't pass him like that. His advice. He said, they didn't come to Rabbi Yechanan for a dentator. They were relatives of his. So he said, hey, relative, give me advice what to do. So he said, tell your father to give her a field and that's all she'll get. Right? The guy dies. He couldn't go back to Rabbi Yechanan because he was already involved. He went to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish paskined. She gets the food plus the field.
Whatever she
wants. So they say to him, but Rabbi Yechanan doesn't hold like that. Amalei, so the Shlaki said to him, listen to this. Zil avalei, give him what, the food plus, like I told you. Vilay, and if you don't, mafkechinu lehu Rabbi Yechanan l'udnaichu. Literally means, I will remove your Rabbi Yechanan from your ears. Meaning, I will excommunicate you, or I will inflict such punishment on you, that you regret the day you heard what Rabbi Yechanan said. So the Shlaki is very sharp. He said, I don't care what Rabbi Yechanan said. You either listen to my psak, or else I'm going to excommunicate you. So what happened? Also, the comment Rabbi Yechanan. They went back to Rabbi Yechanan. Hey man, you made it worse for us. So Rabbi Yechanan said to them, Ma'asa, what can I do? Shekenegdi cholokolei. A guy equal to me disagrees with me. And as Rabbi Yechim said, what can I do? Rabbi Shlokish said what he said, and that's the halacha. So basically what happened was Rabbi Yechim gave in to the Shlokish.
But he didn't pass him, he just gave him advice.
Right. That's why the Shlokish's psak was stronger than Rabbi Yechanan's advice. Rabbi Yechanan gave him advice, not as a din
taita. What does it mean that he was a negev, though? Why couldn't they ask Rabbi Yechanan the
shayla?
Because he went to him as a relative. That was he made
so
it very
clear. What was that I'm saying? Was a negev?
They can go. Yeah, they can't go to Rabbi Yechanan for a din taita if he's a relative.
Or if he gave them advice.
Whatever. No, it's Rabbi Yechanan's relative, so how can they go to the, they can't go to him for din taita.
Effective assistance of counsel.
Amir Ababu, 1 second.
20%.
Now, Rav Abu said, "L'didi mefarshli minei Rabbi Yechanan." Let me explain what happened to Rabbi Yechanan. Okay, Amar leMezainis. When the father said, "This field is for Mezainis," Riba lo Mezainis. Then he added Mezainis. I'll tell you in a second. If he says b'Mezainis, then it's kotzus lamed. Then he limited the food. In other words, the question is, what did the guy say? This is for food or as your food? If he said, I'm giving you this field for food, he means additional. Le mezainis. If he said, I'm giving you the field for food, he's adding this also for food. But if he says, I'm giving you this as your food, bimezainis, then that's it, that's all she can get. And that could be the difference between Rabbi Yechanan said what he said. In other words, according to this, Rabbi Yechanan and Shlokish are not arguing. Rabbi Yechanan to advise them to say, but he also said, limzeina.
So why did he say, why did he have to come up this whole Shekenegdi? Why didn't he just say, that's what I said?
No, because he wanted to say, listen, I gave you advice, you didn't ask me a psak din, the Shlokish gave a psak din. No, it shows the greatness of Rabbi Yechanan. He said, listen, I'm not the Rav in the case, he paskin, the Shlokish is paskin, that's it.
But anyway, he couldn't give a psak din because he was a relative.
No, at the end of the Gemara, that's exactly what he said. He said, right. And the Shlokish was telling him.
So if he used, so the whole question is, what did he say? If he said, limizainis, he's adding. If he says bimizain, this means as your food, it's only this. Okay. Next parak. Okay. Next parak.
That's Mike left. I think that's mine. This is yours.
Okay, Mishnah. Afal pi sha'am lubsula gave him a sign val mana mana. We learned before in the Gemara, okay, all the way back, that an almana, I'm not just started, a psula, the minimal ksuba is 200 zuz. A widow, divorcee, minimal ksuba is half, 100 zuz, right? That's what we learned before. So he says, the Mishnah says, even though we said in the previous Mishnah a long time ago, thank you, psula gave a masayim, valmana mana, that a psula gets 200, and a widow gets 100, imratzula heisef afila mea mana. Even if he wants to add more, meisef he's allowed to. Okay? So the Mishnah is saying basically a very simple din. When the Mishnah said before 200 and 100, what?
Somebody want to add more.
Are you kidding?
People do that. Persian do that.
They stopped it already, the rabbanim.
What was that?
You know what used to go on by the Persians? These trade $1 million in the ksuba, $500,000 in the ksuba.
Yeah.
It's all show. It's all show.
They're so worried the guy.
So what happens? What happens? A month later, a year later, 2 years later, they get divorced, and she wants the money. And by then, she ate up already all his money, with the clothing, cars, and jewelry. Nothing left. Right, that's what happened. So they go to bed. No, so I heard the Persian Rabbanim stopped this a while ago already. They don't let. That's what I was told. They don't let. Okay, now nis'al me'ala einis garsha. What happens then? Okay, so now let's say a psula the ksuba is 200. The guy wrote 300. Let's say the guy wrote 300, yeah? Then she gets widowed or divorced. Bayman or Edison. Bayman and Asuin, whether she became divorced after Kedushin or after the Chasana, Gavis HaKel, the Tanakama holds, she gets everything, the 300.
The
Chiddush is Rabbi Lozeb and Azariah Eimer. No. Min HaNesuin, if they're married, then she gets everything. Min HaEdison, she only gets the 200, not the additional stuff. Tzula gave him a sign of mana mana. Why? The Blazim and Isaiah says, I'll explain in a second. Shlai Kosev La, the only reason he gave the additional over the 200 and the condition to marry her. In other words, like this. The minimal ksuba is 200. Let's speak about a psula, just one thing, yeah? Minimal psula ksuba is 200. Okay? That's the minimal. Now the guy says, okay, I'm gonna make it 300. So the Tanakhama says, okay, you make it 300, that's what it says. Whether the divorce is from the Kedushin or from the wedding, yeah, don't forget it was a year apart in those days, he has to pay the 300. You promise 300, you have to pay 300. Comes along Rabbi Lozeb and says, no, it's not true. Why did he write 300? Why did he give extra?
Marry.
What, did he think that not to marry her? He gave her 300, that if we get married, then I'll pay you the extra. Why, just think about it. Why in the world would a guy want to give extra to a wife and he's not even marrying?
But what, if somebody breaks off in that year, she's not considered a grusha, no?
Sure.
From the Erison, she's considered
a needs to get. Well, if they,
okay.
She's also Lakayan.
Okay.
I mean, everything.
And she gets the dowry?
She gets the ksuba.
The question is, what value does she get?
Yeah, but she only gets the minimal ksuba. Because this that the guy added, the Chacham, Rabbi Lozeb and Azariah says, listen, you have to think what's the underlying factor over here. The underlying factor is he didn't add the extra $100 over the 200 that she should get before marriage.
Yeah, but the whole reason for the ksuba, she shouldn't run away.
I understand. But that's why there's 200 minimal. This that he's adding, Rabbi Lozeb and Azariah said, just think, why did he add? Not with the intent of getting divorced before he married her. Right. So the first Tana says, listen, bottom line is, it says 300. You pay 300. That's it. The Beloved Ben Isaiah says, yes, it says 300, but that's not his intent. Intent was to marry her. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, you also could do the opposite. Imrotza, if the husband wants, and obviously the wife obviously is going to agree, okay? Now, in other words, like this. The first half of the Mishnah speaks about increasing the ksuba over the 200. The second half of the Mishnah is going to give you a way for the husband to deduct from the 200. Now, normally, the minimal ksuba is 200 for a psula, right? So he says, Amir Abiyuda and Abiyuda says like this. Imrat, if the husband wants, he can write like this. Kesev lepsula shtar shal masayim. He writes the ksuba of 200 zuz, right? Vihi kesevin, she writes back, his kabuti mimcha mana. I got 100 from you. I received 100 from you. Ola mana mana, I'll explain why in a second. Or let's say a widow. Who gets 100, right, for the ksuba. He can give her a mana, and she writes back, his kalbuti mukhal chamishim zuz. I gave you back half.
And she actually received it, or just?
No. Nope. Rameir says you can't do that. Okay, but the first opinion is very simple. What's the scenario? The very simple scenario. A guy and a girl want to get married. He doesn't have the money to pledge. He knows he's not going to have it. And he can't afford the 200 zuz. Right? But you can't have a ksuba less than 200 zuz. Chacham Rabbi came up with a brainstorm. Obviously, the wife has to agree to this. Because she's writing, it's like, I got 100 from you. Yeah? If not, that doesn't work. So the wife can make it in a way that she tells them, it's considered as if I got 100 from you. Therefore, what's the left of the ksuba?
100.
is 100.
Saying she wants to marry him. She knows he's poor.
Right, she wants to marry him. She doesn't care about the ksuba. She doesn't care about the ksuba. But Rav Meir says he can't do that. Because let's just finish and then we'll talk. Rav Meir, Amen. No, you can't do that. Whatever peiches and psulim asayim, if you make it less than 100, 200, or amana mana, harei zeh be'ilah znus. Living with her is like znus, not marriage. So Rav Meir says there's no such thing as cutting the ksuba like Rav Yehuda says. Rav Yehuda says there's a simple way, right, of cutting the ksuba. You give her 200, she writes back, I got 100. Rav Meir says that doesn't exist.
So what do you do with the honest guy?
Huh?
He has to write 200.
There's a very interesting thesis over here, by the way. It's a whole Tzemach Tzedek over here, by the way. I remember when I was a kid in Yeshiva. The Tzemach Tzedek asks an interesting question. How can... The Tesis should be saying it.
Dying.
Yeah. Tesis. But there's a whole Tzemach Tzedek on this. There's a din. Moshe, let's say a guy's poor. He gets married. He writes in the Ksuba 200 Zuz. He doesn't have it. So how can he bind himself to it? You can't give something that doesn't exist in the world. Right? I can't tell you something that I don't have. It still doesn't work. If I don't own this bottle of water, you know I'm going to get it tomorrow and I sell it to you, what's called commodities in the American language, which is completely against data. But anyway, so if the guy, so the question is, the guy doesn't have the money, how can he pledge 200 zuz? He's giving something that doesn't exist in the world. But the answer is, the Tesis and Machzadik elaborates on this a lot, he's not selling it to her. He's binding himself to give $200. He exists in the world. He's not binding the 200 zuz.
Doesn't have it to bind.
He's binding himself, who exists in the world, that he has to pay 200 zuz. So it's irrelevant if there's the money in the world or not.
Is there a din by the ksuba that he has to have it before he gets married?
No.
So what's the shot?
You know, the guy that's the art of Kavlan for the Chometz, the guarantor, yeah? He signs his name. The Chometz could be worth $1 million. The guy is a schlepper, no money. How can he be art of Kavlan? Halacha says, even though he has no money, he can still sign as a guarantor. To be a guarantor on a loan, halachically, not to what people will use you or not, halachically, if you accept somebody as a guarantor, even though he has no money to, no foreseeable money even to pay back the loan as a guarantor.
So what's the, whose shoulder? The guy whose shoulder is that?
What?
It's not fair.
Not fair to whom? Both parties accept him as a guarantor.
The guy who lent the money.
They both accept it.
But they both accept him as a guarantor.
Yeah, for state, they sign, whatever.
What do you mean? You sign. So people, you know what? You know how many dentators that people said, including myself, that the guy signed papers, and they didn't realize what they were signing, and they're stupid, because they signed something without knowing what they're signing. But the bottom line is, you signed it. You signed it, that's it.
You're fooling. It's not fair.
No, it's not fair. Life is not fair.
No, not that it's not fair. Whatever.
One second.
If I don't,
I lend you $1,000. One second. I lend you $1,000, and you deny it. Okay. So later on, the Gemara says you have to make a shvuah sasa. You have to swear. Okay. But biblically, I'm a nice guy. I lent you $1,000. You deny it. It's not fair. Okay. But you know what? Yeah, it's not fair, but Besdin still cannot collect $1,000 from you because I don't have any proof. Bottom line, I don't have any proof. Life is not fair.
No, it's a stick of fraud. You know what I mean?
It's not like shekel. The woman I receive 100 zuz. So she's lying.
I'm saying
no, it's considered as if.
Court, L'chayr is such a person who signs his own problem would be in trouble.
She never received it, so why don't write in the Ketubah 100 instead of 200? It's not a problem.
Come didn't have the money to begin with.
But
he's going to bring, by the way, the Gemara is going to say later, she has to write this, because the Mishnah says she has to write it. If she verbally says it, it's no good.
Authentic law.
But she needs to write it in her own handwriting? Or the
no, whatever. It's only by writing the statement.
We are,
let me ask you a question. If I lend you $1,000, can I forgive the debt?
Yes.
If I lend you $1,000, can I forgive $500?
Yes.
Okay. The husband has a debt that if he dies and divorces her, he has a debt to pay her 200 zuz. Does she have a right to say, I forgive 100?
Yeah, but the lotion is as a receiver.
It's considered as if I got it. Yeah.
It's like satisfying the loan when you don't pay the full amount. It's still called satisfying the loan.
Right, you get the thing.
But a mayor says you can't do that. Because a mayor says Iksuba must be 200 for a psula and 100 for almana. There's no other way out. She can't not. But the truth is, when it comes to payment, later on, let's say, doesn't
she
divorce,
can forgive that.
Then she can say, I don't want the ksuba.
Both of them agree, cannot change the loss from 200 to 100. Because he said, you can go around it, I forgive it.
Right.
But everybody agrees, you cannot change it.
And the mayor says, you can't forgive it also. The ksuba must be intact, otherwise, bil is nus.
Yeah.
It's like you're not married.
So he forces the woman to take the money?
He doesn't force it.
No, because she doesn't have to take the money.
When?
Forces the ketubah to say 200.
No, and afterwards, will he force it? Her, will he force him to give? Will he force her to take? She says, "I don't want to let me do."
When after the guy dies?
No, when he gets
or divorces her.
Divorce. If she says, "I don't want to take your money,"
that's it.
Will they force her to take it?
Because because now they're not married anymore. The mayor holds: if you're living with your wife, you must have a proper ksuba.
It's not once it's done. There's no bilus. Doesn't make it happen.
They're not living together anymore. They shouldn't be living together anymore. Okay, so the Mishnah says two things. The first half of the Mishnah says, if you want to add money, you can add money. The second half of the Mishnah says, the Buddha holds you can deduct it through a various method, right? And the mayor says he can't. So the Gemara asks, let's just see this Gemara. The Gemara is Pshita. Okay? Of course, why can't he add a ksuba? Why? I can give you whatever I want. So the Gemara says, no, I would think you can, the Chum don't let you. Mao the tame, I would think it's a very interesting concept. Kitsusa of the Rabbanon. The Chachamim gave a fixed amount universally. Why? Can you imagine? Everybody starts giving 300, 500, 800. The Schlepper Nebuch can't, can only give 200. Yeah? And he's embarrassed. So Gemara says, no, if he wants, he can still do it. You find this, by the way, we mentioned this many times, we'll finish with this. You know the tachrichim, the shrouds that they bury a guy in? The white shrouds? Mm-hmm. Okay. Before Rabbi Gamliel's time, they didn't have those. Everybody got buried in their clothing. What happened? The rich man had a honorable funeral. Wow. The poor people, they let the thing in the street, and everybody left. It was a poor guy, So Rabbi Gamliel came along, the famous Rabbi Gamliel, and he made a takana. Everybody gets buried the same way. In the white shrouds, the rich, the poor, everybody's equal in death. Or like my father used to say, life is like a chessboard. On the chessboard, you have king, queen, and this. Once the game's over and they're put in the box, they're all the same. King, queen, in the box, they're all the same. On the chessboard of life, there's different people. Once you go, you're all the same. But so the Gemara says, I would think Ksuba will be the same way, not to embarrass the poor people. The Gemara says, no. The Mishnah said, if you want, you can add.
Yeah.